My name is Simana.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Be sure to listen to the car salesman. He's your friend and he's there to help.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Oh, man. We could be in danger. Have you looked at our government? Hey, good morning and welcome into the Thursday edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there, I'm Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host. I'm driving the big crazy train, and I gotta tell you, there's a lot of crazy on it today. A lot! there's just so much to talk about today, and I know I'm not gonna get to all of it. I'm just not going to get to all of it, but you know what? We'll get to as much of it as we can. There's a new addition to the clown car. Yes, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio has joined the ranks of all of the Looney Tunes and the clowns who are running for president on the Democrat side today. He made the announcement via YouTube video this morning, following the lead of Joe Biden, I guess. Maybe he thought it was best not to make a public appearance after what happened to him at Trump Plaza the other day. In case you missed that, he made a speech outside of Trump Plaza, and it got so loud out there that they, you know, it was just bad. It was bad outside, so they went inside. And in the background is that iconic escalator that Trump came down when he made his announcement of his candidacy. And as de Blasio was talking, Trump Plaza is turning up the background music, and it's getting louder and louder. He's got no PA, so he's having to scream. He's having to yell. He starts losing his voice. And in the background, on that iconic escalator, there's a group of people with anti-de Blasio signs. They're going up and down. So there's this constant rotation of these signs moving in the background. It was, you couldn't, nobody could have scripted something as wonderful as that. It was just delightful. I loved it. It was great. But he's the latest clown in the clown car today in the news. And that's just a little bit of what we're talking about. What else? Oh, just small stuff before we really get going. President Trump will be unveiling an overhaul to immigration today in the Rose Garden. He'll be making a speech, and he's going to be talking about something that his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, in part had to do with. And instead of the current system, it will be a point-based system. And I'm trying to open the page here because I actually had this kind of shuffle to the bottom of the list, but I thought, you know, as long as I'm dealing with small stories up front, why not just do this? Oh, great. It's a Washington Times story, which means they're going to cover it up and I won't be able to read through it. But basically, it is a point system geared toward picking migrants with key abilities rather than on family ties. You see, right now, if you come to this country and you have family here, then that gives you an edge. And if you come to this country and you give birth, that gives you an edge. But if we switch to a point-based system, like Canada and other countries have, then you have to score enough points to be able to be admitted into the country. And that is very, very smart. Because, honestly, we have so many people here under this broken system, this system that uses family and the birth anchor babies, that's the only way to put it, that it's doing a great deal of damage to this country. We have so many people here who are now, they're part of the fabric of this country who didn't come here for the purpose of becoming Americans. They came here for the bennies because they know that they could get work, they could make some money. 20 or 30 of them could stay in a house and send all their money back home to their families so they could afford to pay coyotes to smuggle them over the border and they could have kids and the cycle continues. I know if you're listening and you're a liberal, you're probably really upset about the way I just phrased that, but you know what? When you cut through all of the fog, that's exactly what's been happening. They're not coming here to become Americans. They're coming here for the goodies America has. And as I've told you before, if you don't believe that's true, you haven't traveled. If you don't believe that's so, you haven't been anywhere but here. or possibly you took a college trip to some swanky European country and you just saw the tourist areas. Trust me, behind the tourist areas, things are ugly. You need to see what the world is really like. I had this conversation yesterday over lunch about how if you just take a walk, don't take a tour, don't take a bus tour. I know I've recommended that before, but I recommend you take a walk. Take a weekend cruise, a short cruise, and just go to Nassau in the Grand Bahamas. Just go to Nassau. Book the shortest Caribbean cruise you can. Go to Nassau and then walk. Walk 3 or 4 blocks beyond the tourist strip. When you get off the boat, you'll see stores selling American food, like the Hard Rock Cafe. You'll see stores selling diamonds. You'll see stores selling other kinds of jewelry. You'll see expensive Tommy Bahama clothing. You'll see other restaurants and other retail establishments that are catering to the cruise crowd. You go a few blocks beyond that, and you see people that are living in what we would classify here as below the poverty line, because as a tourist, you only see the places they design to make you comfortable. If you go beyond that, then you see how life really is. My wife and I once saw concrete block houses, one-story concrete block houses. Actually, we've seen this more than once, with unfinished PVC pipe and wiring sticking out of the ceilings, out of the roofs. And that's done because the taxation in some of these countries is so severe, so punitive, that if you actually put a roof on a building, you're taxed so much you can't afford to live there anymore. They keep their people in poverty. They take their money. You see people living in squalor. It's just a terrible situation. We have it so good here that we don't know how good we have it in other places. But I digress. I have strayed from the topic at hand, and so I need to get back to the topic at hand. But we have a candidate now, this new candidate, Bill de Blasio. We have a new immigration system. And what else do we have? Let's see, real quickly. Oh, the Colorado shooting suspects, the STEM school. Let's tackle that before we hit the break in a few minutes, okay? These two teenagers, who I still will not name on this program, because I will not give them the fame that they wanted. These two suspects in a May 7 shooting at STEM school Highlands Ranch in Colorado will be charged as adults and face 48 charges, according to ABC affiliate Denver 7. The charges include first-degree murder and attempted murder. In Colorado, first-degree murder is punishable by, at a minimum, life in prison, and at a maximum, by the death penalty. The 18-year-old boy and the 16-year-old girl appeared in court yesterday morning, for a hearing on formal charges related to the shooting that claimed the lives of one student and injured 8 others. McKinney and Erickson face nearly identical charges, and I just screwed up. I won't do that again. However, while the boy who is 18 is charged with providing a handgun to a juvenile, the girl is charged with possession of a handgun by a juvenile. And I know that the girl wants to be addressed as he because she is a transgender, but DNA doesn't lie. Other charges include 1 count each of third-degree burglary, 25 counts each of attempted first-degree murder after deliberation with extreme indifference. That's an interesting charge. First-degree murder after deliberation with extreme indifference. In other words, they made the choice, they thought it through, they didn't care. Wow. And 1 count each of second-degree arson, with damage totaling $100 or more. The arson charge is there because they tried to burn his parents' car. That was the car with the spray-painted F Society 666 and the pentagram on it. They tried to burn that car. The boy is due back in court for a status hearing on June 7th. Amid public outcry over the shooting and accusations that partisans are attempting to politicize the tragedy, details continue to emerge about the incident. That's interesting in itself. Partisans are attempting to politicize the tragedy. So are leftists trying to say that conservatives are making this a political issue when actually what's happening is that conservative people are pointing out this wasn't who you wanted it to be? Authorities now believe the guns used in the STEM shooting were stolen from a locked gun cabinet owned by the parents of the 18-year-old boy. A high-ranking source with knowledge of the investigation told Denver 7 that the boy and a second suspect smashed into the cabinet on the morning of the shooting. CNN reported Tuesday that a law enforcement source said, source said the guns were stolen from Erickson's parents, the boy's parents, and that they were purchased legally. The girl, biological female, reportedly undergoing a female-to-male transition, identifies as male. During a court appearance last week, her lawyers asked that their client's preferred pronouns be respected and that she be referred to as he. And as I've told you before, that's one of the signs there are mental issues going on with both of these people. According to Douglas County Sheriff Tony Spurlock, two handguns were used in the shooting and police also recovered a rifle. Spurlock said that police responded to the shooting in under 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Remember that time, 2 minutes. I'll get back to that. Quote, they immediately engaged the suspects and started rescuing the children who were injured. Local news outlets reported that the boy does not have a criminal record. However, he has a well-documented record of anti-conservative activism on social media. A registered Democrat expressed his support for LGBT rights, said on Facebook in 2014 he hated Christians for their beliefs about homosexuality. Actually, he hated Christians who hate homosexuals, is I believe how it was actually stated. And as I've said before, he's got that wrong, just like all liberals get that wrong. 2 minutes. The police responded to the shooting in under 2 minutes. Do you know how much can actually go wrong in 2 minutes or less? Do you know how many people potentially could have died in that slightly less than 2 minute span of time? Do you know? Just let your imagination run. 2 minutes. I challenge you at some point this morning, set a timer for 2 minutes and see how long 2 minutes actually is. And think about how long it takes you to walk, let's just say, from one end of your home to the other. Or to the end of your driveway and back. Think about how long it takes you to, take the lawnmower out and get it started. Think about the things that you can do in just under 2 minutes. And then add guns and frightened people to the scenario. And you'll understand that in just under 2 minutes, it's actually miraculous that only one person died. One person. What could have happened boggles the mind. What could have happened is horrific. And I say all of this just to emphasize the point that had there been school staff who were permitted concealed carriers, this would have ended much more quickly. That had there been common sense, realistic, real protection for these kids, that young man who sacrificed himself might still be alive. just as the flip side of that coin is really, really bad, things could have been much, much worse if real common sense, rationally thought out processes and policies were in place. We might not have lost anybody. But the left refuses to acknowledge that and refuses to allow it to happen. They make lame arguments about teachers carrying guns. They're there to teach, not to shoot. The fact remains, had there been a concealed carrier, just one, on the premises, nearby, it would have ended very quickly. And life would not necessarily have been lost.
The following conversation is real. It took place between a advisor and a subscriber.
Hello, ConStar. May I help you?
Yeah, I locked my keys in my car.
Oh, we can open that right up for you.
Really?
With ConStar satellite technology, you'll never have to worry about being locked out of your car again.
Hey, you unlocked my doors. That's so cool.
You think that's cool? Watch this.
You did that from there.
Not only that, but I noticed from the sensors in your seat that your blood pressure's a little high.
How do you know that?
Seatbelt's a little snug. Are you putting on weight?
What?
ConStar. Always there. Always ready. Always a little too quick to point out the problems.
That's just wrong. I like it. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. You're there. I'm the guy driving the clown car here today. Actually, no, I'm not in the clown car. I'm just telling you about the clown car. It is a blustery day in our neighborhood. I hope things are well where you are. We're looking at thunderstorms and such mixed with sunshine today here. And I'm glad I was able to take some time and get out and do some necessary yard work the other day. Because honestly, wow, that ship has sailed. Hey, thanks for being here today. I appreciate the fact that you're joining in on the fun and you're sharing this with your friends. And I see you guys sharing links on the social media, and I appreciate that. Let's keep doing that. Let's get the family bigger and have more fun together, just looking at what's happening in the world around us. It's not always a lot of fun, but sometimes you just have to laugh at what some people think is going to be a successful push, a successful effort. Like Bill de Blasio in New York. He has so many people that really don't like him. He is not a well-liked guy. He won by fluke. I mean, I need to find that. There's an article in New York Post that actually spells out. They actually talk truthfully about the guy, and they really aren't that fond of him. They just aren't. But, you know, he's in office, and he's decided his entire motivation, get this, his entire motivation for running, is it to do good for the country? He thinks it is, but no. Does he have a platform? Is he going to accomplish certain things for people? Is he going to help people improve their lives? No. Everything I've seen says Trump has to be stopped. That's his motivation. Really? That's a motivation? You want to stop the guy who rolled back our taxes, who put more money in our pocket, who's put more people to work across the spectrum? Black unemployment is lower than it's been, God, who knows how long, since we landed on the moon. Things are so much better today in America, and you want to roll that back. Hey, good luck with that. And Democrats, get this, Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives, they think this is going to be an effective ploy for them. They're going to be today, on the floor of the House. Oh, fire up C-SPAN. This is going to be riveting. They'll be reading aloud the redacted version of the special counsel report. The special counsel Robert Mueller's 448-page assessment of Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. You know what this means? That finally, Democrats will have read the report. Up until now, they haven't. But today, that all changes. Representative Mary Gay Scanlon, one of the top Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee, will, along with nearly two dozen other of her colleagues, begin reading the Mueller report at 12 noon. 11 o'clock Central, in a Capitol hearing room. Oh, it won't be on the floor. It's just going to be in a Capitol hearing room. Oh, wow. Quote, we have a constitutional duty to share that truth with the American people, she said in a release, adding the report's conclusions could not be adequately summarized in a tweet. Mueller's report, which contained redactions, a handful, a tiny number of redactions necessary by law, described numerous links between President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign and various Russians, but did not find sufficient evidence to establish there was a criminal conspiracy with Moscow. And that's the key. There was not evidence. There was no there, there. There was no crime to prosecute. The report also described numerous attempts by Trump to impede Mueller's probe. It depends on your translation. And if you are a leftist, a liberal, you're going to translate those things as impeding. But the report stopped short of declaring the president committed a crime. Why? There was no there, there. There was not enough evidence. It's just not there. Democrats who control the House are sparring with the White House over numerous probes into Trump and his campaign's ties to Russia, the president's business dealings, and administration policies. They're trying to make this all, they're trying to revive Russia when Russia, this whole Russia argument is dead. It's very dead. It's a dead horse. And they just keep beating it, telling it to run, and it's not going to work. Democrats have requested a full unredacted version of Mueller's report, 6 years of Trump's individual and business tax returns, and background on decisions made by the administration on security clearances and the separation of migrant families along the U.S.-Mexico border. Wow, let me break that apart for just a second. The full unredacted version of Mueller's report, they can't have it. There is grand jury information that is federally protected. They can't have that information, except under very special circumstance and approved by a judge. That's going to be hard to get to accomplish. They want 6 years of Trump's individual and business tax. Oh, I might need to back up. The rest of the report, except for that, what, 10%, that tiny percentage, that little bit that is protected by federal law, it's been available since it was released. And not one of them, zero, zip, nada, none of them have read it. What makes us want to believe that they would read it if it was unredacted? 6 years of Trump individual and business tax returns. Why? Why? So they can misrepresent completely legal things in his tax returns because he operates as a billionaire property developer, businessman. He operates by a different set of rules than the average Joe does. And the average Joe, the Democrats know, will not understand the way finance works and taxation works at the billionaire level. It's different. It's very different. Because at that level, everything's about the business, and the business has different tax rules than the guys who work lower on the totem pole. And background on decisions made by the administration on security clearances, because they disagreed with the security clearances, that's simple, and separation of migrant families along the U.S.-Mexico border. That's an Obama policy. Obama. Did I mention it was an Obama policy? Oh, yeah. And also, that was a policy set in place by the Obama administration. Gee, who did that? Is it Trump's fault? No, it was Obama. See, they just keep saying the same things. It's the old leftist gambit where you just keep repeating the same lie until people believe enough of it that you can move forward. The deadline for the administration to respond to a subpoena for the unredacted report passed without being met. That's because they can't legally do it. Trump has sued to block a congressional subpoena for financial records from his accounting firm because, again, on some levels, it's not legal, and on other levels, it's just going to be used as propaganda for the uninformed. The White House has directed key staff not to cooperate with various House probes. Why? Once again, they're on a fishing expedition. They're still trying to keep the witch hunt alive, and there's no reason to play nice with them anymore. After playing nice with the Mueller investigation, complete transparency, what was it, 1.5, 1.54 million or 1.45 million documents, something like that. 1.5 million different documents released. Everybody they wanted to interview, they interviewed. But they couldn't find anything wrong. Democrats are now considering contempt resolutions against top administration officials with votes expected as early as next month. Well, more power to them. Let them. I've been picking up little gists here in the last week or so that it's possible that Mueller and his team outsourced some of the investigation and they actually used some of the people like Steele, the guy behind the Steele dossier. They used him and other people which have been part of this whole problem to do some of the investigating. And that the way the report is written is haphazard and disjointed, and it reads more like an "oh yeah" accusation than it does a legal document. And there are those who have said it's probably the sloppiest legal document they've ever read. So it seems, the more I hear of this, and this is stuff I see these stories and I don't bring them to the studio because, you know, I've told you before, sometimes things have to sit on the burner and simmer for a while so that the truth comes to the top. And I'm waiting for that kind of stuff to happen with these stories. But I'm seeing some stuff that's really, really hinky. Yes, I used the word hinky. There's some odd stuff going on as far as the report itself is concerned. It was a witch hunt. It was all based on a lie. It was a misrepresentation. They used the Steele dossier to get the permission they needed to do some things that they should never have done. And they said it was all verified, and that was a lie. And they're still trying. Bless their hearts. Coming up after the break, let's go to Alabama and find out what's happening with that abortion law and the reactions to it. Here on the Daily Perspective.
Tonight, it's an all-new edition of American Idler.
Who will win?
Will it be the post office clerk?
Sorry, bub. This window's closed.
Will it be the city highway worker?
Hey, I need two more guys to help me stand around and look at this hole in the road.
Will it be the kid hiding in the back aisle of the Home Depot?
Excuse me, son. Where can I find the... Hey, where are you going, kid? Hey, I got a question, kid. Come back here.
I need to find the coal.
Who will win the title of American Idler? Tonight, after When My Big Fat Outrageous Fiancé's Totally Most Wild Police Chase Behavior Caught on Tape Attacks.
I might watch that. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. So, have you signed up for the Daily Perspective newsletter yet? It is a daily dose of this podcast delivered to your inbox. It is the stories we talk about, the links right to the stories so you can read them for yourselves. And most of the time, the stories contain links that jump off to other stories as sources for information. And all of that stuff is vital information to keep yourself informed about what's really going on. As I've told you again and again and again, it is not wise to trust the evening news. And it is especially not wise to trust the cable news outlets, most of them, because they're not giving you the whole story. Remember, they're all driven by ratings. Ratings drives revenue. And so if it bleeds, it leads. And that's what they care about. You need to do further digging and find out what people have actually written about these topics and learn for yourself instead of just accepting the talking points and the heavily redacted versions of the stories, if I may use the word, on the evening news. So sign up today for the Daily Perspective newsletter. Go to markcongleton.com. That's markcongleton.com. And go to the right column of the page. Give me your name and email address. Answer yes to the confirmation email. And before long, you'll be getting the Daily Perspective newsletter. In fact, if you're listening live on Facebook, then you do it before in the next 25 minutes. Odds are you'll get today's edition. So get in there and do that, okay? All right. Back to Alabama. Republican Governor Kay Ivey signed the controversial Alabama abortion law yesterday. She signed the bill and made it a law. The law will make nearly all abortions in the state illegal and make performing one a felony, punishable by up to 99 years or life in prison, unless the mother's life is at risk, health/life. No exceptions for women impregnated by rape or incest. The ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, vowed to sue after the state Senate approved the measure Tuesday night. Yesterday, last night, the group followed up in a tweet, quote, "You can't say we didn't warn you, Governor K. Ivey. See you in court." Ivey said in a statement, "This legislation stands as a powerful testament to Alabamians' deeply held belief that every life is precious and that every life is a sacred gift from God." Republican State Representative Terry Collins, who sponsored the bill, aimed to reignite the debate surrounding Roe v. Wade, the 1973 Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion across the nation, and to push justices to overturn the landmark ruling. Currently, the law will not be enforceable because of the current Supreme Court ruling that makes abortions a constitutional right. Ivey acknowledged this upon signing the bill. Quote, "In all meaningful respects, this bill closely resembles an abortion ban that has been a part of Alabama law for well over 100 years. As today's bill itself recognizes, that long-standing abortion law has been rendered unenforceable as a result of the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade. No matter one's personal view on abortion, we can all recognize that, at least for the short term, this bill may similarly be unenforceable. As citizens of this great country, we must always respect the authority of the U.S. Supreme Court, even when we disagree with their decisions. Many Americans, myself included, disagreed when Roe v. Wade was handed down in 1973. The sponsors of this bill believe that it is time, once again, for the U.S. Supreme Court to revisit this important matter, and they believe this act may bring about the best opportunity for this to occur." A Fox News poll conducted in February tallied voters' familiarity with Roe v. Wade. 48% said they're extremely or very familiar with the ruling. The exact same number are somewhat or not at all familiar with the case. 57% of voters said the Supreme Court should let the 46-year-old ruling stand, and that number jumps to 68% among those who are familiar with the case. Let me just say this. I doubt the veracity of the poll because, well, it's a news organization poll. Phrasing of questions is always questionable, and people responding saying that they are extremely or very familiar, probably not honest, probably not true. They probably think they are, but they aren't. Well, also yesterday, class clown Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat from New York, Yeah, I did. I said class clown. Was called out for propagating a bald-faced lie about the newly passed Alabama abortion ban. And instead of correcting her lie, she made a pathetic excuse to cover up her deceit. It was, in a word, embarrassing. Quote, "Alabama lawmakers are making all abortions a felony punishable with jail time, including women victimized by rape and incest. Of course, no added punishments for rapists. It's going to Governor Kay Ivey's desk. She'll decide the future of women's rights in Alabama." Of course, this is untrue. Third-party abortionists would be prosecuted under the new law, not mothers. One American news network, the ONN, O-A-N-N, that's right, yeah, Liz Wheeler, she called out the 29-year-old saying this is a lie. Under no circumstances would women be jailed for abortions. The abortionist would be penalized. "Tell the truth, AOC," she continued. "You're trying to scare women into supporting abortion. Why don't you tell the truth and see if women support your extreme abortion agenda then?" What Wheeler tried to explain to Ocasio-Cortez somehow still did not register with her, the little socialist. She replied, "It's a felony punishable by law, by jail, including cases of women pregnant by rape or incest. Twitter is 280 characters. Read the context clues in grammar of the tweet. But good to know you're here to promote criminalizing medical providers aiding victims of rape and incest. Good job." Wow. Well, Wheeler pushed back. 280 characters is plenty of room to tell the truth. It'd never be a felony for women, period. It's despicable to use victims of child rape as justification for a million abortions every year because you Dems aren't seeking exemption for rape incest. You want all abortion legal always. And here is where Ocasio-Cortez gets downright pathetic in her cover-up. She claims Wheeler is playing a semantics game. She isn't. She says women providers of illegal abortion would be charged, somehow making her initial lie about mothers being prosecuted not a lie. Here's a clue. It's still a lie. Quote, actually, it would be a felony for women, she says, if those women are medical providers. See, according to your own semantic standard, you lied. We can fact check obvious semantics all day and make absurd bad faith claims if that's how you want to be, but I have better uses of my time. I wonder what those, is she going to go look at her garbage disposal again? As noted by the Daily Wire's Michael Knowles on Wednesday, Alabama's Human Life Protection Act, a mere 3.5 pages long, was too long for Ocasio-Cortez to bother reading. Under Section 5, the legislation expressly states the following. No woman upon whom an abortion is performed or attempted to be performed shall be criminally or civilly liable. Furthermore, no physician confirming the serious health risk to the child's mother shall be criminally or civilly liable for those actions. This absurd misinformation was likewise spread wildly about Georgia's new pro-life law, known as the Heartbeat Bill. As highlighted on Wednesday by the Daily Wire, this law does not criminalize mothers either. It says the law applies to third parties committing the abortion. For example, an abortionist providing an illegal abortion or a man beating a woman and killing her baby would be in deep legal trouble for murder, not the woman, so-called self-terminating. National Review's David French explained, saying the Heartbeat Bill did not repeal a number of Georgia criminal statutes that explicitly apply to abortions and unborn children, and it does not overrule controlling legal authority holding that these statutes bar prosecution of a woman terminating her own pregnancy. So, boiled down, AOC is lying. She and many like her are lying on social media. If you have spent any time on social media today, as I, or in the last day or so, as I have, spending time in the comments sections below articles, below posts, you will see a lot of people are posting a lot of stuff that's just not so. And a lot of people are posting things that have nothing to do with the topic, trying to justify their objection to this law. A friend of mine, a liberal friend, yes, I do have them, posted something about how they posted a chart talking about health issues, about education, about all of these things, and about Alabama being at the bottom of the charts in all these different areas. Saying that, sure, go ahead and bring them into the world and let them live in this. Well, I live in Alabama. I'm aware of the shortfalls, the shortcomings of my state. I'm aware that these things are going on. I'm also aware that the major metro areas, the governments of these major metro areas, which determine how things are done, are largely Democrat. I'm also aware that what this particular approach is saying is you're better off murdering your unborn child than bringing them into life to live in this situation. That is what these types of claims are saying. Yeah, life is bad in Alabama. You really want to bring a child into that. The flip side, meaning you're better off murdering your baby than letting it take its first breath in the state of Alabama. Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying, leftists. Exactly. Oh,
portion of the show is being brought to you by our mystery sponsor, a product that is so good that they're paying us to keep anyone from associating it with this program.
Wait, what? Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Hi there. Thank you for listening today. I really appreciate it. I feel like I've been ranting. And I guess I have good cause. Because this issue, especially the abortion bill in Alabama, this issue is extremely important. And I don't think we need to lose focus. And here is the focus. Personhood. In 1973, with the passage of Roe versus Wade, Americans were given license to ignore the personhood of the product of conception. They were given permission to ignore the fact that this is a person. A person. It's not a clump of cells. You can't relate it to cancer. You can't relate it to anything else. It's a person. It's not a kitten. It's not an ostrich. It's not a tadpole. It's a person. It is the product of one of the two strongest naturally programmed drives that human beings have. There's the preservation, there is self-preservation, making sure you don't get killed. That's why you jump when a loud noise startles you. That's why you grab your kids and yank them out of the path of oncoming vehicles, things like that. It's self-preservation. The next is the preservation of the species. I mean, we're talking about real science here, not this mumbo jumbo that the pro-abortion people are clinging to. Real science has determined that wired into our processes, in our psyches, is the deeply ingrained to desire to preserve our own lives, to protect our own lives, and to continue life. That's why the hormonal urges are so strong. That's why the desire for sex is so strong. Because without it, the human race dies. It ceases to exist. That's why it's there. I will say that's how God made us. There are those who will say, yeah, there you go, talking about God again. Well, okay. That's how I see it. That's how God made us. So, we're talking about people, not merely the product of conception or clumps of cells, as I said before. We're talking about people. That's the central issue with the Alabama bill, is bringing personhood back into focus. That's it. There are those who say it's not going to go anywhere, Pat Robertson being among them, conservative televangelist. He says Alabama's gone too far by passing a bill that would make performing an abortion a felony in nearly all cases. He's a longtime abortion opponent, but yesterday, while he was hosting the 700 Club on CBN, he called the bill extreme, and he noted it does not have exceptions for rape or incest. He's right. It's extreme by design. It does not have exceptions for rape or incest by design. Why? Because it's still a person. However it was produced, it's still a person. Rape, incest, any other way, it's still a person. Governor Ivey, of course, signed the measure into law yesterday evening. It's expected to be challenged in court. It will be. They knew it going in. Some Alabama lawmakers are hoping to ignite a legal fight in the hopes of getting the U.S. Supreme Court to gut the abortion rights nationwide. Robertson, however, he said, "My humble view is that this is not the case we want to bring to the Supreme Court because I think this one will lose." And I think he misses the point. It doesn't matter. What matters what matters is that personhood is brought to the forefront. That's what matters. Because what's going to happen between now and whenever this is all washed away, if it is washed away, is that people will be confronted with the issue of personhood. And just like we've been watching happen with the Democrats, with leftists and progressives, we're going to see their true colors. Because right now, they're getting so shrill, they're getting so panicked about this, they're so angry about this, that they're showing us who and what they really are and what they're made of. Already. Just imagine how this is going to escalate as this moves forward. And people will see just how deranged the pro-abortionist ideology really is. And how it actually denies reality. How it embraces selfishness. How it denies humanity and the personhood that is created. We're going to watch this happening. And we're going to see people, idiots, like Alyssa Milano, out there pitching hissy fits. And she did this. With states continuing to restrict abortions, despite her little sex strike protest. What a wackadoodle this woman is. Alyssa Milano became so furious, she destroyed her own property. She admitted it yesterday on Twitter. Quote, just threw my phone across the room, cracked the screen. Read this, please. That's what she tweeted, linking to CBS News story about an 11-year-old girl who couldn't get an abortion because of Ohio's heartbeat bill. Several commenters expressed sympathy for Milano. She's 46, an actress, feminist activist, revealing that they too had damaged their devices in frustration. Quote, just dropped mine for the same reason. Off to replace it tomorrow. A simple resolution for my issue in comparison to this 11-year-old child's. That's what one Twitter user wrote, referring to the young rape victim in the CBS story. Going on to say, there are no words. Keep up the fight and faith, Alyssa. So this is, this twisted thought, this twisted ideology, this twisted thinking demands that we ignore the humanity produced. Using an emotional story, a hard emotional story about rape and incest. And there are some who would say, yeah, bring, go ahead, like the people pointing at Alabama, saying, oh yeah, you want to bring a child up in that. Oh no, let's just kill him anyway. Let's just kill him. Let's just kill the child. Just like the Alabama State Representative, John Rogers. Kill him now or kill him later. That twisted, bizarre mentality. They post their memes, they post their graphs and charts, they post their opinions and talk about how they shouldn't be brought up in a world like this. And how dare you expect this child to go through a pregnancy and deliver a baby from somebody who raped them? Well, how dare you suggest we murder the child, that we murder this person? When 9 months later, 9 months after, this child would be lovingly, willingly, eagerly adopted by somebody who wants and will love and will care for and raise this child. Because there's a waiting line. There's a waiting list. People are lining up to adopt these babies. They won't be tossed into the foster care system. Older kids, yes. Babies, no. And that's a hard fact, and it's a fact the pro-abortion people don't want you to know. 9 months, going through the pregnancy, in many cases, their needs taken care of by a couple waiting for the delivery of the baby. That option is there, it's very real, and they don't want anyone to know about that, because what's important is keeping abortion legal so they don't have to answer to the consequences for their lifestyle and their chosen behavior. It all comes back down to selfishness again. Selfishness on the part of the pro-abortion people who want the option there to cover their tracks when they mess up. And in this case, as I've said before, they're murdering the witness to the crime. Because that's more convenient. If you take that option away, then you would hope people would be more careful, more circumspect, more responsible. Abortion is barbaric. It's wrong in every sense of the word. But those who are more consumed with self don't care how barbaric it is. They just want what they want. And that's a sad state of affairs. And that's the end of the show for today. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective. God bless. Bye-bye.